وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن رِّبًا لِّيَرْبُوَ فِي
That which ye give in usury in order that it may increase on other people's property hath no increase with Allah.
Welcome to Islamic Economy, a program that is aimed to make us understand what Islam tells us with regard to spending, with regard to saving money, to dealing with money.
God is looking for an economic system that's based on real things. It's based on real production. It's based on real services. It's based on creating real value for people.
Islamic Economy, a program that offers Islamic solutions to your economic problems in your daily lives.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين سلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome once again to another episode of the Islamic Economy, a program dedicated to discuss on matters pertaining to Islamic economy. What are the factors that can make the Islamic environment to be very prosperous? What are the factors or what are the impediments to economic prosperity? And what are the causes of economic prosperity? And the different issues that Islam has to present with regard to Islamic economy. In our previous discussions, we looked at different verses of the Holy Quran that talk about what are the causes of economic prosperity. And we came to realize that the fundamental cause of economic prosperity is taqwa and inner equilibrium of the soul. If a person enjoys an equilibrium of his soul, that is, he has made all the faculties of soul in the state of equilibrium, the natural consequence of such a person would be that he would enjoy economic prosperity, whether he is struggling individually or he is within a society. If a society struggles and all of its members struggle to cleanse themselves and to attain inner equilibrium, then the natural result of such an exercise would be economic prosperity. And we looked at three different verses of the Holy Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about this relationship that is existing between the inner equilibrium of the soul and the exterior economic prosperity. We also realized that not only would a person enjoy economic prosperity, but he would also enjoy metaphysical prosperity as well. That is something which is beyond this world, the intellectual prosperity. We looked at three verses of the Holy Quran, which were chapter 7, verse number 96, chapter 5, verse number 66, and chapter 14, verse number 7. Today, inshallah, we will look at the aftermath of a prosperous economy. When a person is in a society which is very prosperous economically, he is a balanced human being. He has struggled and he has come to a level whereby he is a human being who controls his desires, anger and intellect very well. And he enjoys the benefits that are around him and there is economic affluence that he has. Then what? Here, I would like to enumerate two important diversions or two important results of such an economy, the presence of such an economy. One is, what are the advantages of such an economy? Once we have already got this economy and we have independence and we are not dependent on any other country because our members are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His laws. Now what? What are the advantages? You see, because obviously a person may ask, why do you aspire for an affluent economy? Why do you want that the whole country is rich and is independent? What are the advantages? This is what we are going to first look at, and then we will look at what are the lapses and what are the possible disadvantages and the possible problems that can be created after such an economy comes to transpire. So first let us look at the advantages, and we will discuss these advantages in brief, and we cannot enumerate all the advantages, but we will look at some of the advantages. Inshallah, in future we will consider each of them if we have the opportunity. One of the advantages of having such an economy and such a state of affluence is maintaining one's self-esteem. That in Islamic terms we call that izzatun nafs, which is very important. A person, by begging and asking for a loan also, or asking for money from different places, or asking or seeking help from different countries, would not be very easy, especially with regard to a human being who is perfect, especially with regard to a Muslim. He is taught that never, never beg. So when a person is independent, he knows that he hasn't to depend on anybody or beg to anybody. So he has that self-esteem. He maintains his self-esteem just because he has that economic prosperity. He will not go and beg to the World Bank, for example. He will not go and beg to the different countries because he has his own self-esteem. The community and the country is affluent, all right? This is one of the very important advantages, and it is something which is natural that a person enjoys when he has an affluent economy and an independent economy.
توحيدك قد أخلى قلبي من كل شريك يا ربي توحيدك قد أخلى
Islamic Economy, a program on Islamic economy every Friday on the Call of Islam radio station by Hujjat al-Islam Sheikh Muhammad Khalfan.
إلا آيات للحب
توحيدك قد أخلى قلبي من كل شريك يا ربي فبي يوم لقائك لن أتلو إلا آيات للحب
امنحني القدرة كي أتلو لعلاك تسابيحا تحلو امنحني القدرة كي أتلو.
The second thing, or the second advantage, which is also very important, is that it enables one to be focused. What do we mean by it enables one to be focused? When a person doesn't have the advantages, the physical advantages at his disposal, for example, he doesn't have money to travel, let's say, to the holy lands of Makkah and Medina, doesn't have money to travel in places where his relatives are, for example. He doesn't have money to pay, for example, the costs of different things that transpire at home. For example, his children get sick. He doesn't have, you know, the money to pay for them and to pay for their medical bills and so on. He is always occupied with these things. He is occupied with thinking of how can I get money, where will I get money, whom should I get a loan, how will I pay, and so on. And therefore, he will not be focused to his goal. His aspiration is to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a person who is not only thinking about money and thinking about how to pay this loan and how to do this and how to, for example, ask such an amount from such a person because we do not have, and how to solve this and that problem, will have a lot of difficulties. So, but when a person doesn't have to think about the economic matters, he doesn't think of, you know, when will I get, for example, this much money to pay this loan and so on, he is free from these occupations. He can be focused and he can set his mind to become perfect and perfect towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although this kind of occupation is when a person is destitute within also. That means not only is he poor from the outside, he is also poor from within. Sometimes a person, a salik ila Allah, that is a person who is traveling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may be tried by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through poverty. And therefore, by being occupied with these things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would like to try him, that how patient is he, you know, how can he bear these problems, and how powerful he is, and so on. This is another subject. But then, all in all, if you go and see those people who are affluent and are muttaqi, they are focused. Because they don't have to think about these things. It makes their mind to be in rest. As I told you, there are some exceptions. The exception is that sometimes a spiritual wayfarer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may be tried with poverty, for example. And he is tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How does he deal with the different problems? Yes, what is abhorred is a person who is poor within. That means he doesn't have taqwa and he is facing economic problems. Such a person will have a very difficult time and he will never be focused. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from such a predicament. This is another advantage, that a person can be focused. Another advantage is that it facilitates the expansion of Islam. And this is something very important. When a person is affluent, when a country is affluent, it can send its envoys throughout the world, disseminating the religion. Because this is the purpose of a human being. That when he comes and he has perfected himself, then he tries to perfect others. So when a country has that state of affluence and has all the economic means, and it knows that there is another country which is poor within and without, that country can penetrate to the other country and try to revive the people and support them physically and revive their spirits as well, such that a time comes that that country becomes independent. And this is one of the advantages that we have, alhamdulillah, with regard to the Islamic Republic of Iran, that has sent its envoys. Today, obviously, we have this system that we have, the country's envoys are sent throughout the world as ambassadors. And then under the ambassador, we have a cultural counselor, which tries to disseminate the thoughts of his country. So with regard to the Islamic Republic of Iran, we also have this advantage that the cultural counselor who is there under the ambassador in different countries, they try to disseminate the pure Islam. And this is the opportunity that they have. Why? Because Iran is a rich country. If Iran was a poor country, it would not afford such a delegation to be sent and such envoys to be sent so that they can disseminate the religion. So another advantage of economic affluence within a country is that Islam can be expanded, we can export the ideas of Islam and Islamic expansion in general. Inshallah, we will look at the other advantages and thereafter look at the lapses that a person can face when he has economic affluence. والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Oh my creator, oh Allah, fulfill our aims in life, Allah. Forgive our sins, ya Allah. Oh Allah, the most gracious. Ya Rabbi bir Mustafa, balligh maqasidana. واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. Oh my creator, oh Allah, fulfill our